many of us do not know what we possess from God. It was Dr. Kenyon who said that you can never be a truly fulfilled Christian until you know who and what you are in Christ. And that is a tremendous truth. And it's one that the majority of us, I'm afraid, never come to really realize. And it is not God's fault, it is our fault. I would also say perhaps a great deal of the fault lies in the ministers who have taught us that they have not been true to the Word, that they have interpreted the Word of God in the light of their own experience. And of course that brings about tradition, which brings about destruction. How many nights I'll be here, Brother Perry mentioned Sunday night. That's because I said I could come through Wednesday to Sunday because he was going to be away on Monday. But now that he's here, maybe I'll be able to preach a sermon, which is a little lengthy, on the events of the end time. But I'll show you from Scripture exactly why it is that the present-day church that worships and loves God, even sacrifices, is going to fulfill its ministry under the Antichrist. In other words, they'll produce the Antichrist while the bride will produce Christ. And I know exactly how and why it will do it, because it's in the Word of God, so therefore it's no mystery. But you see, tradition is this dangerous thing. And you cannot interpret Scripture in the light of experience. You must interpret Scripture by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. See? Your Greek won't do it. Can't be done. That's why you'll notice that truly anointed preachers use a little word study, but they don't go to those so-called infallible rules of the Greek, because it's a bunch of hogwash. Because the Bible is written almost in one great big long sentence. There isn't any punctuation to it, actually. Even the Greek or the Hebrew. And unless you know by the Spirit of God where those divisions are, it would be a very risky thing for anyone to say, I know by the assured laws, and I'll show you. Dr. McCrossan wrote a book, and he quotes one man above all others, Dr. A.T. Robertson, one of the truly great students. And yet it is my understanding that Dr. McCrossan used those same so-called infallible rules of the Greek that he learned so many of from Dr. Robertson to refute what Dr. Robertson taught by those same infallible rules. That's exactly what happened. So you see, we need revelation. And when the Spirit of God was given to us, basically that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, and I don't mean to know in the academic sense, I mean to know by personal positive possession, which is a mystery. You'll never explain it, but it works. See? Now, that's what we missed today. I showed you last night from the Word of God when Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, if you had only known what belonged to your peace. Now, I showed you that what Israel had, according to Romans 9, was the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises. They had the fathers from whom Christ came, and so on. And yet they were absolutely unaware of what they had in their possession through the mercy of God, and therefore Jerusalem fell and they were destroyed. And we're in the very same position today. There are many things that have freely been given to us of God, but you'll never know them until the Holy Ghost reveals them. See? You could literally have an amplitude. Now, let's look at it. The Scripture says you are complete in Christ. Yet how many tonight will say, I am complete? Not from the academic sense, but from the thorough experiential sense of a Holy Ghost revelation. Now, if you're here, I want to meet you. I really do, because I'm interested in people like that. Because the Bible sets that forth as what is available to us. Now, these meetings, I'll be taking the best I can from Scripture, much of what is set forth in the Word of God that we have from God. And there is no doubt about it. We have it. But we are not literally aware of it because the Holy Spirit has not made it real. And again, I repeat, much of this A blame for not being aware of it does not lie in the lay member, but it is within those who have not taught the Word of God, so that the people are not even aware of what is theirs according to the Word of God. See? Every word in this Bible you've got to examine and be aware of, because no word is void of power. It's just like I could say to you, woe unto them by whom offenses come, and point out to you, it never says woe unto them to whom offenses come. But we haven't even been taught that. It says that when we are offended, we are in the blessed, assured class that God is on our side. And yet most of us have been taught, because of this so-called positive persuasion of the Word of God, that you can have what you want and so on, and get what you're after, and the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, the violent taken by force, and we've been given all these innumerable promises in the Word. We fail to realize exactly what the Word of God teaches. So it's so necessary for us to begin to repent and apologize to the Holy Ghost. He was sent to teach us, lead us into all truth, to make real to us the things that have been freely given to us of God. See? So that God might be revealed in us, so that when He comes and we are His inheritance, He'll rejoice in us. And these things have not been brought to our attention. And they must be, because if the church is going to be restored, what restoration will she have? Simply a spiritual. It's got to be by the Spirit, for the Spirit alone quickens. So we need to apologize to Him who has come to indwell us and say, we are very sorry, Lord, that we have mistaken Your indwelling. We thought, because we were taught, that every one of us was going to be a mighty armorer, an army, pulling down strongholds, and we're going to do a million and one things. And that's all fine. But that's not really why He came. He came that God's Word, because remember, we're born of this Word. As little dogs are born of big dogs, and little calves are born of big cows. If we are born of the Word, then as cows produce calves, and cats produce kittens, we ought to produce the Word. Now, it's just that simple. What's wrong? Well, we've been taught that the Holy Spirit was to get us speaking in tongues and applying gifts and bigger and better gifts and greater and wonderful little revelations, and they're all fine. Now, there's nothing against it, because that's the Word. But remember, see, the Holy Spirit was given in order that we become Word Christians. See, that we become living epistles read and known of all men. And that read and known of all men is not in demonstration of power by gifts. That's just a small part of it. Jesus Himself said, which of you can find me wrong in one word? To convince of sin means just in one word, see? In other words, when He was that living Word brought down, you couldn't find one flaw. He was that Word. And when He got through demonstrating in power, He turned them to teaching, and that's when they fled. And that's exactly where you and I have missed the boat, because we're taught wrong. We were taught the demonstration, and we were stuck there, and we were taught a bunch of traditions. And that's not good. We must get back now to the understanding of God's Word. The Spirit was given to make the things of God which we have now real to us. In other words, by experience, we demonstrate before the world that we are those Word believers. Now, that's what we have in our minds as bringing this series of messages, and so we'll go in tonight to study of the revelation of the face of God. Not that you're not aware of it, but sometimes by someone else teaching it, you have a little better insight, and even on the thought of repetition, you're able to understand a little more and have a little clearer concept of what is our due. Now, before we bring the message, shall we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we deem it a great privilege, Lord, to be here this evening, to be able to search Your Word. For this is exactly the way it ought to be. For those You mentioned in Your Word that were noble were the ones that searched the Word, that they may abide by it. Now, that is why we are here. And we know, Lord, that without You, we can do nothing. And if there were anything, words to be said which were not of you, then that would be too bad, for they would fall to the ground and would never bear any fruit. But since none of your words is void of power, we pray that every word, Lord, shall be exactly your word, and then because your word is powerful and will bring forth what it was designated or sent to bring forth, we know we are going to reap a harvest which will be restoration. That this which we talk about tonight is going to become real. It's got to become real within us, Lord, in order that we might truly be called living epistles read and known of all men. Now help us tonight that every word be yours, and the spirit in which is said, and then the same spirit give understanding, and line upon line, precept upon precept, until we're growing up literally into being word believers, to the end that we might be united to you in this great time of resurrection and rapture, which we know is just around the corner. Lord, make us very, very confident of your presence tonight, very much aware, and everything, Lord, you have a breath of expectancy about it, because you're coming soon. And may we, Lord, who have heard your word, go forth by the indicated and authenticated, vindicated prophet, Lord, be especially aware of this time, this breathless hush, this growth period, Lord, this final period of the separation. Grant it, my God, tonight we pray. And we'll be careful to give thee the praise because you're worthy and deserve it all. Amen. If you want to turn tonight in the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, we'll read the story of the revelation of the faith of God. And in verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Now, of course they did, because he wanted them to hear it. "And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house should be called of all nations a house of prayer? But you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and thought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them." Now, this illustration is one wherein Jesus was preaching by example. He knew the fig tree did not have any fruit upon it. We are well aware of that and understand it. And he was trying to teach the apostles something which had hitherto not been revealed in the Word. And that is that God himself has his own personal private faith. And Jesus was about to reveal the faith of God to the disciples. Now, you will notice here the translators made a little error, for they said, "Have faith in God." If you will take many, many translations in the manuscripts, you will find it does not say that. Even your margin has the correction, for it says, "Have the faith of God." Now, Jesus wanted to let the disciples know the availability of the faith of God himself. It is not faith in God, it is the faith of God that is being revealed. Now you will notice here that Jesus said, "Have the faith of God." The word "have" means to possess. It means to own. And so Jesus said to the disciples, "Possess the faith of God." Now why did he say it? He said it because Peter, you will notice, said, "Lord, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." And Jesus knew that Peter wasn't just saying, "Master, the fig tree is withered." Peter was literally saying, "Look, it happened just like he said it would. How was it done?" And Jesus said, "It's done because I have the faith of God." Now, when you have the faith of God, you will do more than curse a fig tree. Because having the faith of God will give you the ability to say to the mountain, not just the fig tree now, but mountain, be thou cast into the sea, be thou removed, and it shall be done. Now, I want you to notice something here, something which is tricky. And it's very discouraging in a way to know this. And yet it's very encouraging in the other way because it puts you on the guard. When you read this with your normal human mind, you fail to realize that Jesus is indicating not only the possibility of having the faith of God, possessing the faith of God, but he is revealing it to the extent that this faith will do tremendous and mighty things. But the human mind doesn't take it that way. See, the human mind says something like this. Well, the fig tree was cursed. That's true. Now, it was cursed because Jesus had power. And when they wondered about the fig tree drying, Jesus said, have the faith of God. And he went on to say, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Now, let me see. Have the faith of God. That's fine. Now, if what I do here, if I can just get my mind and my heart lined up so that I'll never doubt anymore, if I can just get a hold of myself now and get myself working by discipline, hold it. Hold it. That'll never produce the faith of God. It might approximate the faith of God, but that will never produce the faith of God. But you see, the human mind tricks you. You listen to that. How could anybody, any living person, say, mountain be moved, and stand back and say, it'll move. Sure to move. You see, I've got myself lined up where I don't doubt. I don't waver one bit in my mind. I don't waver one bit in my heart. There isn't one doubt here. And I say, mountain, move. That mountain will be there 100 million years after you're dead because mind power is not faith. Because faith is of the heart, based upon the Word. And the Word is so foreign to the mind of man, it's pitiful. Because God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above your thoughts and your ways. And if light travels at the rate of 186,000 miles per second, and there's 60 seconds in 1 minute, and 60 minutes in 1 hour, and 24 hours in 1 day, and 365 days in 1 year, and these light stars are a million years away, that means what? 186,000 times 60 times 60 times 24 times 365 times 1 million. That's how far your thoughts are from God's thoughts and your ways and my ways from God as natural people. So how could anybody say, now, if I just got myself lined up here, if I can just hold steady now, I'll approximate the faith of God. Jesus did not say either produce or approximate. He said, have the faith that God owns. You possess it. Now, let me say something. There is no place outside of this, up to this point to my knowledge, where the faith of God is revealed. And also, connect with it now, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed unto us belong unto us and to our children, that we may do all the works of this word. Now, the faith of God has been revealed. It has also been told us we can possess it. So therefore, the faith of God is available to the whosoever. Now this then is a basic academic concept from the Word. Call it letter if you want. This is the letter of the Word. Jesus, by demonstrating that he had the faith of God, and told the disciples they could perform even greater works than he did by the same faith in God. Now turn to them. And he said, when you've got the faith of God, you'll be able to stand back and not doubt. but say, mountain, go, and the mountain will go. And believe me, brother, sister, I don't see mountains out there going, such as you've got around Tucson here. But I see a mountain of circumstance and problems and conditions that can lie upon the chest of every single one of us. And yet we have got something from God. If we have got that faith, that can let us stand back, and without any doubt, with no lack of peace in our minds, with no lack of peace in our hearts, but with the calmness that is set forth in the Word of God, which is becoming to a child of God, we can say, mountain, you're going to go, because you've got to go. Because I say you're going to go on the authority, I've got what it takes to make you go. Now, that's what the Word teaches here. I didn't write the book, I just preach it. Because if I were to base my preaching on my own experience, I would never dare to preach it. But I'm not basing it on my experience. I'm preaching the Word of God. He wrote it. I didn't. And I'll not become a dead traditionalist to try to make the Word of God fit my experience. But I want my life to fit the Word of God. Jesus said there was the faith of God available. Because he said, you possess it. Because the word have means that I have a glass case. That means I possess it. Jesus said, possess the faith of God. The scripture must now come. Did the early church possess the faith of God? So we go to the book of James, the second chapter, and in verse 1. And James says, My brethren, have not the faith of. The human mind says the faith in. Your human mind is as contrary as the devil himself. And so is mine. Because that's the first place the devil appeals to. He appeals the mind of Eve. And it's only too easy to say, James is saying, have not faith in God. At the same time, you're putting a faith in man. It doesn't say that. Comes awful close to it, maybe. But not really. It says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. These people had already lost the revelation of the dynamism of the faith of God resident within the human vessel. I'll show you that. But pursuing this, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, or goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit here in my goods in a good place, and to the poor stand there, or sit under my footstool, are you not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? James is saying, shame on you. How dare you? With the faith of Jesus Christ himself. Now turn to man. When did Christ ever turn to man? It was always a complete faith in God. How is it that we, with the faith of God, do not place that same faith in God? See, there, the reason is there's no revelation here. If there were the revelation of the faith of God in these people here, you see, time has gone by now. But God said, I'm going to restore. And if God is going to restore, then he's got to bring us back to the revelation of the faith of God, which was there in a short measure of time. True, I'll show you. Because we'll turn immediately to prove the point to Peter, because in the mouths of two witnesses, not the book of Peter, but what Peter said in the book of Acts. So this is the book of Acts, the third chapter, and in verse 16. And we'll read it here. And I'll read it the way to make a little more sense than just reading it the way you follow how I read now. Now get it, verse 16, 3 and 16. And Jesus' name, see, I'm putting in Jesus instead of here. And Jesus' name, through faith in Jesus' name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by, or literally from, Jesus, hath given him this present soundness, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You will notice here that Peter said that the way the man was healed was because of two forces. Jesus' name and Jesus' faith. And the revelation of the faith of Jesus Christ was so real that when Peter looked at the man who needed help, and the man expected an alms, Peter said, "Silver and gold have we none." Notice how far the church in James talked to had fallen. They wanted silver and gold, didn't they? They thought that would do. Money will never do. Program will never do. It's going to be God by a revelation that does it. See? Peter said, "Do you want to know how this man was healed, what power we had? I'll tell you. It was Jesus' name and Jesus' faith that did it." Peter was fully aware of his ownership, his possession from God, which was the faith of God that Jesus said was available to him. And without hesitation, without any thought of it not occurring, he could turn to that man and say, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give unto you. Arise and walk." And he took the man by the hand, he was so sure, pulled him up. And the man began running and leaping. Why? And they said, "How was it done? We've got to know the answer. Oh, you trickster, what did you do?" And he said, "Do you want to know how it's done? It was his name and his faith that did it, and I've got it." See, Jesus said, "Possess it." Not as though we don't possess it, because if you'll recall in Shreveport, Brother Branham's words, we need a revelation of the faith of God. Go back to your tape. Now, not only is this true, but Paul said the very same thing in the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians and in chapter 2 and in verse 20, the verse which we all love, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God." No, we want to put it, "I live by my faith in the Son of God." That's not the way the Bible writes it. Doesn't say that. It says he lives by the faith of the Son of God. Now, don't twist it. The human mind will twist it. But Brother Dale, that word really means, you see, he is faithful. Yes, he is, but that's not what he's talking about here. Not talking about that. It's his faithfulness that will see you through and present you faultless, because he's a faithful interceptor. But this is the faith that you are living by here, to be an overcomer and to manifest yourself as living epistles. Paul said, "I have been crucified." See? And he's not living by faith in Christ. He's living by the faith of Christ in Christ. We've been told to measure in faith in Christ when we should have measured in faith of Christ, because it's the faith of Christ that's going to work when you want to put faith in it. See? Human faith doesn't stand back. It can't stand back and say, "Mountain be moved." What do you got working for you? That's mind power. Mind power can't do that. Only the faith of God can stand back and say, "Mountain be moved." And it's got to go. Because only God's got that kind of power. Now, not only does Paul say this, but turn again to, let's take Galatians 2:16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." You notice what it says here? It says you are not justified by the works of the law, and you are not justified by faith in Jesus Christ either. You've been justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. If we can't read our Bibles wrong, we've got to read it right. Don't let the human mind fool us. It is not faith in that justifies you. It is the faith of Christ that justifies you. Is that what I read? Is that your Bible? Not by the works of the law? No, sir. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. Now, what else does Paul say? Over in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, hear what Paul has to say about the faith of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 7 and 12. "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him." Let me just talk about this for a minute, which I have to do to bring this out. Supposing I were to ask this question rhetorically of you, and I were to say, tell me, brother, sister, what would you like to have as your prayer life before God? Well, what would you like to have as concerning your proper attitude and ability to receive from God as concerning the necessities of life? And you'd say something like this. Well, Brother Dale, I tell you, I often feel condemned, and I just wish that I could have such a life before God that I could always go before Him and say, oh, Lord, here I come with a great need. And the minute I said it, I knew I could walk right in His presence and feel at home. And then when I gave my request, oh my, I could just go away knowing I'd got it. I'd just like to know that I could get to Him. Now, isn't that what you'd like? What would I say if you already got it? What would I say? How would you respond if I told you on the authority of God's Word that's exactly what you've already got? And I'm going to prove to you right now. So let's look at the Bible. It says here, according to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness. Now that word boldness is a peculiar word because it doesn't mean a lot of gumption. It means freedom of speech. It comes from the Greek word parhesia, which means that I am always able to speak out. There is no fear. In Jesus, we have the ability to speak out, presenting ourselves. See? And then it says we have boldness and access. See? I can come to Him, and I have access. Never a closed door. See? Never a shut entrance. But I can come to Him, and I can talk to Him. And it says boldness and access with confidence. And this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything concerning His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petition we desire. Is that what the Bible says? Now, you know that's what it says. But have we got it real? We do not have it real. No, we really have it real. I'm not saying that we don't really have it. But I'm saying it's not manifestly real by experience. Now, notice what the Bible says. It says in whom we have this ability to come to Him and express ourselves, and we have confidence. On what ground? By the faith of Him. It says if you possess this faith of God, you have this ability. You say, Brother Dale, what am I struggling for? That's the whole trouble. Because you struggle to talk in tongues, didn't you, honey? You struggle for every single thing you got. You were taught to struggle, and the Bible says that faith is a rest. The rest of faith. I was taught what you were, so I'm not scolding. If I should say you, I mean not you as people, I mean as a principle. If I should lash out, I'm not at you, I'm angry at myself. Because I was told a bill of goods. By men who were so scared to experience that they called God a liar to His face and praised Him while doing it and danced and shouted and cut a rug. Because they wouldn't dare teach you that you have the faith of God. Because the faith of God positively says, when you've got this faith, that when you are in Christ Jesus, placed there by the Holy Ghost, you have boldness, access, confidence. The very thing we're praying for, we already got. The very thing we're crying for, we already got. The very thing we condemn ourselves for as though we do not possess it, we've got it. See? Jesus didn't only make it available. The early church had it. And we've had it ever since. But the revelation is missing. Because men turned almost instantly to organization and tradition, which voids the Word of God. And when you void the Word of God will not work. And especially if you're not even taught about it, how are you going to know about it? It's not within your responsibility. The men that will answer are those that are supposed to fed your souls and haven't fed you anything except popcorn and God knows what. Popcorn, I'll talk about the testimonies later on. And these things called promises, so-called, out of the promise land. We'll slice the bread the way it's written. Huh? That's right. The faith of God has been granted to every one of us. Just look at this for a second in Revelation chapter 2 and 13. Notice what Jesus says in this book of Revelation, the last book written by the last great author, John. And in verse 13, it says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. It doesn't say you haven't denied faith in me. Because even the devils have faith in God and they tremble. Because faith and belief is the same thing. Faith is a noun, belief is a verb. It says here, you've not denied my name. And we haven't, have we? Huh? But we've denied his faith. You see, people, it's this way. The name of Jesus is not a rabbit foot. And isn't it true that if every one of us had every prayer we uttered in Jesus' name, we'd all be princes and princesses living in castles with a fleet of Cadillacs, right? And we're kind of a cheesy bunch when it comes to that. So therefore, these prayers haven't been working. You know why? What the great ingredient missing is? That thing called faith. Because we haven't been clearly made to understand by revelation of the Holy Ghost. Your faith has not been told to work up to be like his, or to approximate his, or to produce his. See? But we should have been told, even as we possess his name, which was never our name, but we've been given it, the power of attorney. Even so, we have been given faith from God. Let us see this in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, because here is the proof positive. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, said Paul in verse 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world, fashioned after this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man, every brother he's talking to, the measure of faith. God has dealt to every single brother and sister in Christ the measure of faith, which is God's own personal faith in a measure. And there isn't one who has any more than another. God has dealt to every single one the measure of faith. Now, where did he get it? He produced it. It's his faith. He didn't get it from somebody else and pass it on. It was his faith. God has dealt. The word deal means to dole out as a dole. Like if I had a cup here or my hand, if I could cup my hand, reach in and get the same amount of grains of rice, I'd say, here, this same amount of grain of rice, the same number of grains of rice, the same number of grains of rice. Or I had a cup of water, which might represent faith. Or a cup that was emptied representing faith. I could say, here's Peter, he's got the measure of faith. Here's John, he's got the measure of faith. Here's Paul, he's got the measure of faith. Here's you, you've got the measure of faith. Every single brother in Christ has a measure of faith. Now, the wicked don't have it. Because the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 2, I'm sorry, wicked and unreasonable men have not seen faith. See? Now, let's look at this faith. What people have this faith? Well, the redeemed or the elect have this faith. It's given only to the elect. In the book of book of Acts 13 and chapter 48, it says, and when the Gentiles heard this, that is, that God had turned to Gentiles, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. Now there again, you see, it's always put backwards. They say, well, if you believe, you get eternal life. That's true. But who believes? Only the ordained can believe. If you're not elected, you won't believe. See? You can't do it. Why? Because it's actually very simple. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and 8 and 9, it says, by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. not of works, lest any man should boast.
You see?
Only the elect are recipients of the faith of God. And it's only by the faith of God that you can be born again.
Let me show you further. The scripture says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Why, that lets everybody in, every Protestant and every Catholic believes that. But are they born again? No, sir. Why? Because it's not human faith.
Human faith is where Paul stood before Agrippa. And he challenged Agrippa by the scripture because Agrippa, you see, believed the law and the prophets. He said, Paul, he said, you almost persuade me. Paul said, I know that you believe. Well, if believing is what it takes to get saved, then Agrippa would have got saved. But you see, Agrippa had human faith. And human faith won't move your sin. Human faith will not bring in Christ. You see? What? Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See? And let me quote you again back here in Romans. Just connect this up because it'll help you clear it up. Let me see what book, that's what I want. Romans, I'm not quite sure enough. I want Romans. Or not. Let's go to Galatians. I think it's Galatians I really want here. And it's 2 and 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. See? Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. You cannot be declared righteous. You cannot be made perfect in Christ through the substitutionary work and the indwelling presence of Christ. You cannot be thus so made apart from the faith of Jesus Christ himself. You see it? Now let's prove it more. Romans 3 and 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Not faith in Jesus Christ, but faith of Jesus Christ. When the Spirit of God cried out to you by means of the Word, and your heart was stirred, and you repented, you were granted repentance, and you were given the measure of faith so that you could believe by His faith to be justified and be born of His Spirit. See? The revelation is clear in the Word of God that there is a measure of the faith of God available. And it is only available to the elect. Because only as many as are ordained ever believe. The Spirit of God Himself gives you the measure of faith. And it is this measure of faith that causes the Holy Spirit to place you into the body of Christ, baptizing you with the Holy Ghost. So that it can be truly said, salvation is of the Lord. See? Nothing to do with man. Any more than you have to do with your own birth. See? By grace are you saved through faith. And the faith is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Nothing you produce. Lest you could boast. Now listen to me. Couldn't you boast tonight if you said, I produced enough faith to bring God in this vile vessel? You go ahead. You see why your churches are full of goats? Because the preachers give the audience a bill of goods. They sell them Bible school training, what we call proof text salvation. They get the man to admit he's a sinner according to the Word. Then they show him what they call the plan of salvation. Then they get him on his knees. Then they say, bless God, my brother, you're born again. How come? Not the Bible says. Because if God doesn't call them, they can't be called. Remember, Jesus sent out servants in the plural to invite them. But when it came time to compel them, he sent a servant, one, the Holy Spirit, alone, to compel a man. And how does he compel them? On the grounds of faith. When they're convicted, the measure of faith falls into a man's heart. And that man knows that he's passed from death unto life. And human faith can't do it. You got it? Just a minute as it were. Second, perhaps, prior.
to being born in His Spirit. You receive the Spirit of God through faith. Now, what is this faith of God defined? The faith of God is defined in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And in here you will notice it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now if you take your other translations, you will notice that the word faith, or rather the word substance, is translated as assurance, which is what it is, rather than substance. You see, some of these words have lost their meaning to it. See, the word substance, the one man wanted to say, well, this is like substance. You see, he says, give me something substantial, something with substance. Well, the word substance comes from two Latin words, sub and so, meaning to stand under. You could say faith gives substance to things hoped for. That might be all right. But literally, the literal translation, which I'll show you from other scriptures, should really be faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and it's the conviction of things not seen. Now, you'll notice in here that it says faith is assurance. Let me prove it to you. No, you see a song about it. Let's go to it. The book of Romans, the 4th chapter. This will show us. Now, verse 13, for the promise that he should be heir to the world was not made to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it, what is it? The promise is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. What makes the promise of God sure? Faith. So therefore faith is what? Assurance. You know what I mean? Faith is assurance of things hoped for. See? That's what Jesus said. Why? He said, have the faith of God. And then when the mountains of tragedy, misfortune, and circumstances come, this man need not shudder. He need not fail. He need not disobey. Why? Because he's fortified with the faith of God. And he can stand back and say, mountain, move. Now, it doesn't say when it's going to move. It doesn't say how fast it's going to move. But it's got to move. In all the storms of life and all the rigors, the man can say, mountain, be moved. And the beautiful thing is this, he will not doubt. Now, human faith would doubt, because human faith can't move mountains. Human beings can't move mountains. You can get tube troubles, and maybe a atomic bomb might move some of them, but that's what you'd have to have about to move some mountains. God wasn't talking about literal move mountains. He's talking about the problems and things of life. And he said, mountain be moved. And this mountain, through this man, through the faith of God, can stand back with assurance. Now, what's assurance? Well, assurance to me, and I'm getting carnal again, is like this $1 bill. This is my assurance, my guarantee, my substantial ability that I can procure whatever is available for $1. Now, I don't look at this and say, well, you know, if I wonder if that dollar will buy that. Yes. You know, the gold standard, we're about off it, and the silver standard, and it's not even a silver certificate anymore. I just don't, well, you know how it is. And he's been dead a long time, poor old George. And, does anybody ever do that? How come? If we're going to run through the form, let's run through all the way. Because if we're that way with God, it's certainly humiliating to God to find us have trust in money, isn't it? And yet we look at this dollar and say, well, there's my assurance. How do you know you're going to get that thing down there, Brother Bill, worth a dollar? Well, I got a dollar bill. See? I've got what it takes. Well, Brother Bill, the streetcars aren't running. Oh, I say, so what? And walking the first time. Yes, but you see, I heard this fella down's got a great big mob down there. And you might think, well, I can push more liquor in. Yeah, yes, but, the last person went down, you know, the poor thing, you know, she got her clothes torn and one rib broken. Well, so what? See, you've got the dollar, you go down and get it, right? That's the way the faith of God. See? Faith is the assurance. See? That's what it is. It's assurance. Guarantee that I can have what's hoped for. But now there's the catch. What can I hope for? Oh, goody, goody, goody. No.
The word hope is another mistranslation. Because, you see, you and I mistranslate it from our understanding of what the word hope is. For I understand the word hope is, oh, I hope it doesn't rain. But you know, my miserable, rotten luck, it'll rain. The ants will come in the porridge too. You know. Could there be such a word in the Bible? Faith, hope, love. And that word hope means I hope it doesn't rain, but with my luck it will. That isn't what the Bible hope means. The word hope in the Bible means earnest expectation. Faith is my assurance of what I can earnestly expect from God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. Call upon me, I'll show you great and mighty things you know not of. Mount, be moved. God said so. On what grounds do I move, says the mountain? On the grounds of the faith of God which I possess. What else? Now, faith is my earnest expectation. Is that right? Faith is my assurance, you see, of what I can earnestly expect. But I earnestly expect from God, right? Now, what can I expect from God? Anything this Bible says is mine. That's why the Bible says the promise is sure because God made it sure by the measure of his faith. The measure of the faith of God in the human vessel is the guarantee that every promise in the book is not only available, but it is procurable. And according to Hebrews 11, which I am in, the Bible says if you don't let God do it for you, he's not pleased. Because it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you know what a rewarder is? A reward is? It's what you get. In other words, if God is cut out of our lives, see, and he is not working for us and performing for us, then God is not pleased. You know, I won't talk about that because I'll get it maybe tomorrow night or the next night. But God is not pleased when we are not allowing him to do things for us. See? And the measure of faith is the guarantee that God can and will do for us exactly what the word says. But we've been majoring it all the time. Bring your faith up to where it doesn't waver. I've preached this for a long time. Bring your mind under control. Approximate the faith of God. Get a hold of yourself, bud. How would you like to lay an egg tonight? Bunch of chickens? Makes a laugh, doesn't it? Joke. Neither would you produce the faith of God, my brother, my sister, nor would you approximate it. Jesus said, have the faith of God. Possess it. And we have, if we're born again. To deny the faith of God is to deny your rebirth. You say, Brother Vail, I don't have it. Then, honey, you're not born again. You can talk all you want about being in the message. I don't know what message you think you're in. Because if this is last day bride, it's going to have to be in this word that was faithfully preached to us. And your prophet said, and my prophet said, we need a revelation of the faith of God. He didn't say we needed the faith of God. He said we needed a revelation of the faith of God. By grace have we been saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourself. Not of yourself. Not human faith. It is a gift from God. Now, if every good and perfect gift cometh from above, and this has come from above, then we have a good and a perfect gift, which is our assurance of every promise here. And brother, isn't it funny how we've tried to fast this thing through? Huh? Oh, come on, now, let's have it. You mean I'm all alone up here and all the only ones ever done it? We say, but brother Dale, the Bible says pray and fast for this thing cometh, you know, not without prayer and fasting. According to what I understand, I'm not going to fuss about originals. They say that's not in there.
And even if it is in there, it's not talking about baptizing the place of the faith of God. It's just tightening you up. Because faith fasting never has been a means to an end. It's a means to the means to the end. In other words, it gets you cut down to where God might have a little better chance of speaking and some of the spiritual things rising. But your fasting isn't going to do it because it's faith. And if you and I use any other means than the Word of God, we'll end up as being carnal impersonators, exactly what the prophet told us. Because to impersonate is not to be the real thing, it's to make out as though we were. And then be carnal on top of it. It's a pretty terrible thing, is that right? We better be careful. Now you see, the Word says that we have the measure, and this measure, the faith, is the assurance of things hoped for. Whatever God's Word said, as this dollar bill is my assurance of anything that's available for a dollar, so the measure of faith is my assurance of anything that God said was mine in His Word. See what God has done for us? My, how the elect ought to rejoice. You have never been placed upon your own merit. As concerning the bride of Christ, you are either elect or you are not elect. But here we have it. The measure of the faith of Jesus Christ as our assurance. Now, I remember when Brother Branham was in Spencerville, Ohio, when he came to Lyman, had a meeting there, and he preached on the faith of Abraham, and he gave us this illustration. He said, supposing that I came to your place starving, or you came to my place starving, and I'm going to use my own words in order to give you what he conveyed to us. I say, all right, supposing I've been out somewhere hunting in a cabin, and I said, well, I think I won't go home tonight. I'll stay here. There's no food in the cabin, but there is a little lamp, and I light it. And a man who is hungry and starving sees my light. He knocked on my door, and he said, oh, sir, would you give me some bread? I'm starving. And I said, sir, I'm sorry. I came up here to do a little hunting. I decided to stay the night. I'm going home. There's not a bit of food in the house. I wish there were, but there's not. But look, I've got some money, and I'll give you money. Now, sir, do you see that light down there? Yes, I see the light. Well, look, I got to tell you something about that light. There's a grocery store there, but it's kind of hard to get to. Not the easiest thing in the world, see. But what you do is this. You start off, and if you go down the road, it's dark, and you sort of feel your way, and just keep going down there, but there's no bridge over the creek. And you're going to have to ford the creek, and you'll have to climb up the bank, and there's brambles and so on. Now, you may have trouble getting there, but the thing is, you just keep your eye on that light and keep walking, and what you've got will get you that bread. You see? Now, you see, there's the thing. The man takes his quarter, and he said, well, that's fair enough. He said, I can't expect you to go and get the bread for me. After all, you gave me the money, and you told me where it is. Now, I just keep my eye on the light, and I'll keep plodding, and I'll get it. The man got there, and he got his bread. Now, you see, that's the way faith is. See, there's no doubt that you're going to get it. See, there's no doubt that it's going to move the mountain. There's no doubt you're going to go through the problem. There's no doubt these pressures are going to go. Just the fact is, remember this by revelation. Get a revelation. I've got the faith of God. And that faith of God gets the answer. So I don't care what the conditions are. My God will give me that because I've got what it takes because it's His in the first place. I'm not trying to approximate His faith. I've got His faith. I'm not trying to work myself up to where I produce it because I couldn't produce it. I've already got it. See? And there isn't one of us tonight who's born again but what has this faith of God. See? But what's missing? The revelation. See? Now remember, brother, sister, that this can be absolutely true because as I showed you, Israel had the adoption and the covenant and the law and the glory and the ministering and all of these things. But they failed in the day of their visitation. Paul said to pray lest we seem to come short of the promises of God. Nobody comes short. It just seems that way when the chips are down and we get scared not having the revelation. I can do all things through Christ. Who gives me strength? As I said the other day, last night, how many of us have the revelation so that we can take joyfully the spoiling of our goods because we know something? Oh, I know what the human mind says. It says, now look, go through it and you'll lay up treasure. Oh, that's very sweet of you, honey, but the Bible doesn't say that. We say the Bible does because it says there is not one who's left father and mother and so on. But I'll tell you one thing, people don't leave those things out of Revelation. Because the bird in the hand of the human mind is worth two in the bush. When God says the birds in the bushes are more than one or two in the hand, whatever you got. We turn the other cheek when we realize by revelation that we can do it, what lies ahead of us. We can let anything go, as we say, down the drain. People can take anything we've got, and we'll be happy on what ground? On the ground of the revelation. We have sought God entirely backwards. And now it's time to get back to the Word and seek according to Word. He, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was given to us in order to make real to us the things that we have freely received. Tell me, did you work for the faith of God? Not one of you. Did you pray and fast and thereby get the faith of God? Did you? Huh? Let me show you the turmoil that's going on here if you don't understand it. Now look here. I want to ask you one question. Did Brother Branham pray and fast to get a gift? Or did the angel of God appear and say, I am come? Remember, he wondered what all these worries were. But he said, I am come in order to give you a gift of healing to take to the nations. Is that right? Now, how come Brother Branham didn't do like the rest of the boys? See, they go to the... Now, I don't want to be sarcastic or vulgar, so please forgive me, but I have a little gift of sarcasm, and sometimes it works beautifully in order to get the point across. So listen. It says here, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge is given. Tell me, how many of you folks does the boss give you your wages? You say, don't use that on me, Bill. He doesn't give me anything. I work for him. Then why twist this around? It says it's given by the Spirit. A word of knowledge and faith and healings and miracles and prophecies. And it says here, and all these work that one and the same Spirit. In other words, all of the manifestations are by one single Spirit who divides individually as he wills or wants to do. But what did these men do? They saw Brother Branham. And they said, bless God, it rang the bell. I can do it too now. I'm going to rent my closet, hallelujah. I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to make God. And didn't they? Well, come on. And what's happened? Method we've never had. Anointed pocketbook. I'm going to the mountain to pray. P.S. I need money. Why don't you pray for it? You're going to the mountain, aren't you? Maybe if God gave a fish to Peter, he'd give you a berry bush, a money bush up there. Pardon the sarcasm, honey. If you want me to put sex on the mic, you go ahead, it can't talk. Well, come on. This may be a joke, but it's serious, because we've done the same thing. We have thought we could bombard heaven and do 1,500 things. And it's not that at all. It's God and His grace and beauty and mercy. Our dear brother didn't pray and fast and go through a million things and say, now I've got a gift of healing, watch me. And the minute that he eased up, when God told him to, they ran to the man who said, I'll do it. Or as one man said to a man that I love the ministry, and the person, he said, give him another shot. Give him another shot. That'll work. Kind of vulgar? I don't blame the man. I'm not critical now. Please don't misunderstand. I can understand what the man means. But are we in the Word or are we out of the Word? And that's the criterion. Because if we say we believe Him, the Spirit's express orders written were to be in this Word because the bride is a Word bride. See? And it's only through the word that you'll approach to Him in order to be united with Him. It's wedding supper time. It's restoration time. It's resurrection time. It's rapture time. It's honeymoon time. Whether in that express order, I'm not prepared to say. I might have got it mixed up because I wasn't trying to get in chronological order. But what I said was true. And we need to be exactly what the Word says. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
It is your and my assurance that everything that God said was available, and it's on the grounds of the revelation of what we have already got. The Spirit was given to us, I have said, to make clear what God has given, not what we beg for. The gifts were freely given too, but men said, oh, I'm going to get something bigger and better. There's a couple of boys somewhere in between here and the East Coast said, well, if so-and-so has that many gifts, don't you worry, we've got all those too. And it's been a carnal comparison and all. And we have failed. Why? Because men have subverted the word by not listening to what the word says. Listen, not one jot or tittle is going to pass away. So then how dare we change the word of to in? It is not faith in God, it is faith of God. So all the talk of putting faith in God without any awareness of the faith of God, my brother and my sister were on danger then. Because it's the faith of God that gets faith in God. Now you see, you can use human faith and get a lot of things done. You see it in every time. There are millions of prayers that God answers, I would say, over a period of time by many people on the grounds of their own faith, just faith in God, following rules as laid down in the Bible. It's all good. Like Brother Branham said, the man that goes to witch doctors, he believes he's approaching God, and God heals. But they don't have the faith of God. That saving faith. That's the faith that brings in the Holy Ghost. That's the faith that brings every promise. And one of the promises is what? Resurrection and rapture. Now, if we're here for the resurrection, and we're going to be in the rapture, we're going to be changed, that right? Because remember, all Israel left Egypt. There wasn't one sick or one infirm. They were all healed. See, like resurrection. See, we'll be changed in Adam to go. But remember, it was by faith that Enoch walked and was not because God took him. That's rapturing faith. Before rapturing faith comes resurrection faith. And today we don't even know how to use healing faith because we think it's our own faith. There's no revelation that it's his faith. Believe me, brother, sister, it's going to take more faith than you and I got to win the ground and come out of it. I expect the first messenger upon this earth the first messenger I expect upon this earth is the last messenger, because the first will be last and the last first. And the death that put him in the ground will keep him there, but the faith that he has of God will bring him out. And when he comes out, that's the time you and I better look to get changed if we're in that branch. And the faith of those fathers is going to bring the rest out of the ground too. Now, the world won't see him. I don't believe the world will see him, because Jesus said the world will see you no more, and that's right. I'd say I believe only the elect saw him in those days. It's a dimension anyway. What's up and what's down, God knows. But brother, sister, listen, it's his, not yours and mine, but his that becomes us. We need the revelation of his faith. It says faith is the conviction of things not seen. Not evidence of conviction. Listen, you can't be convicted you can't be convicted that you're going to be healed the same time you're convinced that you're going to stay sick. Yet today we've got to fight, haven't we? Why? You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to line our faith up. Now let me get my faith lined up. Oh man, I'm going to bring my faith under line now, and I'm going to get in my understanding now. I'm healed. That's all very good, but it's not God. Because God's word says faith is the conviction of things not yet seen in your possession. The things of God that are in his word, that are yours and mine, not seen in our possession. It's a conviction. Abraham had it. See? When they said, Abraham, don't you know you can't have a child? You're 100 years old. He said, I'm not convinced at all. Oh, they said, come on, man, come on. Surely you know that you cannot procreate a child. He said, I'm not at all convinced you're right. In fact, I'm convinced you're wrong, because we're going to have a son. Tell me, is that human faith? No. No. The Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God's unbelief. He was strong in faith. Many a man says, Brother Dale, I'm weak in faith. And that's the biggest bare-faced lie you ever told.
Amen.
How can you be weak in faith if you've got God's faith? Now, you may be weak in the back. Oh, boy, that hurts. You may be weak in the knees. I can't get along too good. Maybe weak in the head. A lot of the time. Weak in the pocketbook? 99%. But weak in faith? How dare anybody say that? Yet we think it's kind of, humility. Humility to make God lie?
Huh? Is that humility? If it is, I don't know the meaning of the word humility. If humility means to be a liar, I was the most humble man living till I got born again. Oh, man, could I tell him. That's not humility. Humility is to say, God says I'm healed. Humanly speaking, I could never say it. But he said. He said, brother, there that makes you lies. And Abraham was a liar. He said, I'm a father of nations. And the Bible says he became what God said he already was. Because he was convinced he was what God said he was. On what grounds? Faith. Not human faith. That's based upon reasoning and all. Not upon observation, but upon the clear-cut facts of a divine gift called faith. The faith of God. So, I submit again to you tonight. I'll let you go home 20 minutes earlier. In my submission, we need the revelation, brother, sister, on what we already got. He was given to us. Jesus said, when he has come, he'll take the things of mine and show it unto you. We said, amen, hallelujah, tongues, glory to God, prophecy, glory to God, hallelujah, bless God, interpretation. Woo, look at the miracles, healing, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Right? Right today, you've got men saying we're getting results, aren't we? It's got to be God. I was taken to task in Columbus, Ohio not long ago because I dare to stand up and I even call names. I'm sorry, I do. I shouldn't do it. But I say I got a big mouth. If you do it in the open, I'll tell it in the housetop. Tend to want to win. Men who live in sin. What do you think of a man who called three lovely girls aside and said, I've got a message from God for you. And he tried to bust in their apartment to do it. You want to know his name? I can tell you if you want. Not much point, though. And I was called down because I preached righteousness. He said, those men have nothing for me. Because his scepter is a scepter of righteousness, not of sin. And I was called down because he didn't get to see what felt in the screen. But he did. He's got gifts. What gifts? Carnal impersonation, but all mountains. We're not here, brother, sister, to make mock of anybody or God or anything else. We're here to know truth. And we need a revelation. That revelation is on what we possess from God's stream. Not what we beg. See, the anointed ones of the last day can go to God and force issues at any time. But those in the bride are what? Members, fingers, eyes, ears, nose. They don't force. They're placed there. And their function comes automatically and normally. So the hand doesn't say, because I'm not the eye, I'm going to just get mad and do so-and-so. Or bless God, because I am the hand, I'll reach out and grab here and grab there and do every other thing. No, they function properly. But when you're outside the body, the anointing can be upon you. And you can have many manifestations a million miles away. Sure, just the way it is. That's the thing to redeem me and save me. Any message I love to preach is the two vines, because that's what cleared my soul up. I was puzzled and sore for years. Because I saw and couldn't understand. But now I know, see. But God had dealt us the measure of faith. But how many have reality? Let no one ever say this. He doesn't have that measure of faith. Jesus said, he is coming that you may know the things that are of mine. He'll make them real to you. See? Paul said, that you might know the things that have already been freely given to you of God. You don't have to ask for anything in that respect. It's to have a revelation of what you got. Latter rain came along. And they gave us the truth, didn't they, about the fact. To be, what is it to be a member of the body of Christ? And they had men doing Next thing you got men trying to baptize into the body of Christ. You had men laying on hands and giving a bunch of fairy tales and wrong stories. You still got it today. That's not the way it is. You already have it. We're complete in Him. What we lack, revelation. That's why He was given. So I say again tonight, you impress us, and God help us to pray. And I want to add to what I said last time. We pray for revelation. Don't pray for signs. Never mind the signs. They'll come in their proper ordained course. Pray for revelation. Not the dreams and vision kind of revelation. No. That won't do it. As I see you here tonight, as clear and technicolor, I saw in a vision in 48 hours before Hitler invaded Poland. I was waking up in a pitch dark room, black as you might call any blackness could be. And there up in bed, I heard a voice say, Hitler will invade Poland. And I saw on the wall in technicolor, the armies marching, invading Poland. It isn't the answer, my brother, my sister. That isn't the answer. It's the revelation. And that's the inside, where God takes these mysterious things that can never be explained, and He makes it so real. I quoted you John last night. John says, I want to tell you about the word that was manifested. We handle it. Why? He said, I saw it. I heard it. Look, he said, I felt all over. I knew it by experience. It was so real. And now I want to be real to you. And I heard William Branham do the same thing. God was so real that God was as real as this book I pick up to that man. God was as real or realer than that book. He didn't get it by discipline, brother, sister. He didn't get it by begging. He got it by revelation. That's why I believe the angel said, now see what you did. You tried to explain it. You don't explain those things. How can you explain what's unexplainable but real? See? Revelation is an individual thing. See? The eye age is coming into being. It's going to take God within us to reveal, then reveal Himself through us. Then the bride will have, thus saith the Lord in her. Not all these gifts and things. That's not it. It's just, thus saith the Lord is the word. And she'll be a word bride before the world. No wonder He created squirrels by the word of God. See? Word demonstrated. Right? Revelation. So we're not praying for signs. They'll come in their due order. We're praying for His Spirit given to us for the purpose of revealing to us, in other words, making real to us experientially what we already have and are in Christ. Right? So we pray for that. Not other things. Because, brother, sister, when I walk by revelation, there isn't anything to stand before me. When I am sold by God, in other words, I use the word sold, complete revelation for me. That's it. You follow me now what we're talking about? Tonight, each one of us that's born again has a measure of that faith. I don't lie to you, brother, sister. If I've quoted you wrong Bible, I know what I'm talking about. If I've preached you a sermon in error, as it's erroneous, I might as well quit. Because if the Bible doesn't say what I said it did because I read it, then God help me doesn't say anything. If this Bible is so mysterious, it doesn't mean what it says, then heaven help us. This own word says, a wayfaring man, though a fool, need not make a mistake. If it's the face of God, my brother, it's the face of God. If He says we got it, then in. But don't stop there, because He said the Spirit was given to make it real. But we have done wrong, haven't we? God, give me this. God, give me that. Lord, it'll be real if I have a vision. Lord, it'll be real if I speak in tongues. If I prophesy. Oh, that's wonderful, brother, sister. It's really wonderful to do those things, and they're real. Oh, yes, I know what it is to prophesy. So do you. And they come to pass. That's wonderful. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing, brother, sister. If this word doesn't come to pass in you and me, right? Condemnation. Now, God, reveal to thy servant by thy spirit who and what I am in thee, and not be satisfied until you follow me now? Huh? This is why he was given. This is why he was given. May God help us to stop dishonoring his name and let him do his work. Right? All right. Amen. Shall we rise? Lord bless you. Be dismissed. Brother Perry, any announcement? Amen. Let us pray then, this last little moment. Gracious Heavenly Father, what you have given us to bring tonight, we have brought. And Lord, again we know your grace and goodness, because you said a man without the gospel will be judged without the gospel. And so tonight, Lord, if I have talked academically or in the letter to these dear ones, and they have been warned that this will be so, and I can't give them revelation, and I don't pretend to have it myself at this moment, I know, Lord, that there can be no judgment set upon us, as though we should be fearful and say, oh my, what will become of us, for here we are undone. No. Because, Lord, I just doubt if, except in the last little while, anybody anywhere has even heard of the faith of God. And so now that it's revealed by means of letter, we pray, Holy Spirit, and you've been given to a Spirit of God within us for this very purpose. We humbly ask your pardon for not praying this way before as we should have. But now, hear Christ within us. Reveal thyself and thy things to us, that we may thoroughly know experientially every moment of our lives the magnitude of thyself and thy gift that each one of us has tonight. Oh, Jesus, this is so superior to these other things we've looked for. This is what really will be it. This was the famine in our body crying out in our soul. And we drank out of so many cisterns, and they were broken. And there wasn't life in them. But tonight, Lord, we drunk out of your word. Now, give that word life. We pray, and reality in each one of us, and encourage us each moment until we come as come we must to the age of the eye, the mind, where we will have the revelation and walk in it, revealing Christ to the world, living epistles, read and known of all men. God grant tonight, everyone tonight, everyone, every lovely person here, Lord, in the youngest to the oldest, everyone, Jesus. Oh, what a privilege is ours tonight. And thank you for it. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the all power and honor, and especially glory, through Christ manifested in us. Amen. God bless you. Amen.